Welcome to the Jenner Agenda. This is Bo.
And I'm CeeLo.
So our last podcast was about a more serious topic, PTSD. And I know that we covered some trauma responses and talked a little bit about your need to always be busy.
Be on the go.
And yeah. the guilt that you felt when you weren't. Mm-hmm. I did some reading. So I just wanted, before we actually start this episode, I wanted to just kind of do a bit of a follow-up because I did do some reading to try to figure you out a little
you
bit
found
better.
Out what's wrong with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything. No.
So that's such a long list, actually.
I know, right? It can't even, we're gonna have to be on a podcast for 5 years. Okay, so I did actually, I was able to confirm that the inability to sit still can actually be a trauma response associated to PTSD.
Okay.
It can be. So I'm not saying that that's what your issue is, but it can definitely be. Like we know that some people shut down and withdraw from situations, but other people do whatever it takes to avoid thinking about either traumatic experiences or their feelings about stuff. So like negative feelings that just about their lives or themselves or whatever.
Oh.
So they have this need to be busy all the time. And it can definitely be a trauma response. So deliberately avoiding the trauma by throwing yourself into overdrive, right? But there is something that's actually called productivity guilt.
Oh, that sounds like it, because I was thinking about it too after we chatted about mm-hmm. it. And I don't feel like I need to keep moving per se, because I mm-hmm. would love to be able to not move, you know, a little more. But I think it's more along the lines of the guilt. I have like extreme mm-hmm. guilt if I'm not doing something productive.
Okay. So yeah, that is interesting. Okay, so not necessarily related to PTSD is that thing called productivity guilt. And it's, you know,
what does it say about me?
Well, it's this, like, it's a sustained feeling of guilt, and it's usually associated to not achieving, or, you know, not able to complete things that you've planned. So, you know, from what I've read, it, like, you know, some of the things that they say, it's like it can affect all aspects of your life. So people can have this productivity guilt in relation to household duties, which you talked about.
Yeah.
Health and wellness goals. So like, you know, if you've got these specific goals for yourself for health or whatever, and you're not achieving them, it's like massive guilt. It makes you feel like you're not good enough or inadequate if you're not achieving what you have defined as something that you need to achieve within a specific time frame. Like it's these unrealistic expectations that either you're putting on yourself or others are putting on you. So does any of that resonate with you at all? Or
Oprah, you're gonna make me cry. I think
are we Oprah and Gail?
Right? Totally.
This is
okay. Gail, that's funny.
Who's Gail and who's Oprah? Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think I relate more to Gail.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'm richer.
Yeah, you're totally richer.
So I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Okay. So resonation, does that any of that resonate with you?
I kind of feel like bits of it do, because I feel like I always have this ongoing list of things to get done. I don't feel a lot of guilt necessarily around like, you know, setting a fitness goal and not getting it done. I love to set little wee goals for myself, so I'm always doing stuff like that. But I don't know. I feel like I need to like marinate with this information a little bit and think about it, you know?
Let me give you a little bit more to marinate with as you're thinking about it, okay? So when I was reading some of this stuff, I was thinking, okay, so there could be a few scenarios that mm-hmm. might fit you, right? Knowing what you went through as a young child with the split up of your family mm-hmm. and that your mom was left to, you know, raise the four kids by herself, essentially, mm-hmm. maybe you were given more adult-oriented tasks, like, you know, to help out with the family situation. And maybe that's part of it. Or maybe you had that feeling that you had to parent your parent right? So like you had to help in order for her not to break down or feel like overwhelmed. Maybe you were sensing that there was some of that. And so you've put those kinds of expectations on yourself, and then that kind of brought itself forward into your adulthood. Or maybe, and I don't know, this might be a big one to think about, but do you think possibly you feel sometimes that you have to prove yourself worthy so that people don't leave?
Oh my God, I got chills now.
Did you? Okay, so maybe that's totally something that's resonating chills with you. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that could be something. I don't feel like parent the parent. Mm-hmm. Initially when you said that, I'm like, no, man, my mom had everything on lock. She was coordinated and organized and got everyone to swim lessons and we all went to school and blah, blah. You know, like I don't feel like there was any time where where I felt like she was slacking and I needed to step in. Mm-hmm. But then there was a lot of times when, because mom was so busy, my older sister took on a lot of kind of parenting duties and got dinner started or helped us, you know, with things around the house and did some of that. So I don't know. Maybe I should get a therapist, you know?
Who knows? But, you know, something to
unpack all of this information. But yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about it that way. I suppose everything in life now is you can relate back to something, either from early childhood or some kind of childhood experience that, I mean, all of those experiences put you on this road or create this map ahead of you. And it's like what you do with it and all that. So it's kind of interesting to think about it. And how it might impact your road now, right?
Yeah. But think about that worthiness, you know, like consider that, think about it, because it seemed to hit you when I said it. So yeah, just something to think about, something to maybe research, read about, whatever, talk about.
I'm just going to be over here rocking in the corner, crying back and forth.
Great. My job is done. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Oprah.
You're welcome, Gail. All right. Okay. Now the actual agenda item we have for today.
What do we have on the agenda? You know what we have on the agenda today? We're going with the high school flashback.
Yikes.
Right?
Are we? Did you put this on the agenda?
I put this on the agenda because I thought it would be fun to kind of go back to where it all began, where this friendship began and what that was like. And then I was kind of curious. The girls at work were talking about high school reunions. I think one of them has a high school reunion coming up. So then the whole conversation was around, would you go? Wouldn't you go? And I'm like, I don't know if I would go. I'm kind of curious to see people. And then I'm also 100% not interested to see people. If I could just go as a ghost, that would be ideal, right?
I get it. And I'm with you on this one for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay.
Would you go? High school reunion, would you go?
No.
Why?
No. Okay. So this is it's so silly because, you know, it's been so long since we've been in high school. And to me, it feels a bit immature to be like, no, I don't want to, see these people or what. But okay. So the real gist of this for me is my reason for saying no is because for a couple of reasons, I, first of all, it's like I feel self-conscious and it's like, you know, I feel older, I feel fatter, I feel, you know what I mean? And I just don't, well, you know, it's a little embarrassing and it's like, I don't know, do I want to see all these people and have them see me? I mean, obviously this is a confidence issue that's leading towards the no.
Okay.
It's not the only reason though.
Okay. There's one thing that I'll say to that.
Yes.
Everyone that we went to high school with will also be older.
I know.
Everyone ages. So that's par for the course.
It's true. Absolutely. 100% absolutely. But then there is also the high school was tough at times, right? Like it was really hard to navigate it. And sometimes it was very anxiety inducing for me. And for most of when I think about back on high school, I can definitely say that there were some really, really great fun times that I had experienced, but there was also a lot of hell that I experienced as well. A lot of not so great times. And it's those things. It's the feeling that I didn't fully belong, or that I wasn't really fully seen, or that I was trying so hard to be somebody that I wasn't, just so that I could fit in appropriately. It's those kinds of stresses that when you say, would you go to a high school reunion now? I'm like, no, because really, I just don't want to see some people that made me feel insecure, uncomfortable, or not accepting of who, of just me. You know what I mean? And then there's also the fear that goes along with it, which is, you know, are they going to be like, oh my God, look how fat she got, or, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. So I just, yeah, it's a combination of all that, but no, I really like legit, there's nothing you could say to change my mind. The answer is no. But
if I decided to go, I would drag your ass with me. No, I'm just saying.
No.
Also, why can't we just change our perspective on things and say, yeah, there were absolutely shitty times. There were also some really awesome and fun times, because, of course, that's where we met. But
yeah, of course.
It's like, why can't you walk in there and say, yeah, maybe I'm fatter, maybe I'm older, but I'm also gainfully employed in an awesome job. I have a fabulous husband, a house, cats. Like, why can't we go into it saying, like, I'm an adult now. I've had these successes. I feel good about myself. And, you know, I think it's just like you have to change your perspective on it a little bit.
Well, that's fantastic, and have a great time. No. I'm teasing. I hear you, and you're 100% right. Everything that you're saying is totally correct.
So
it's just not. Like, honestly, CeeLo, it's not worth it. It's not worth me. I just don't have the desire to see some of those people. I just don't. And, you know, if you actually Google it, because I did see this on the agenda, and I did a quick Google because I just wanted to see what kind of popped up. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I think there's a lot of people who feel like me, where it's like, do you really want to go revisit certain things that were, or people that were anxiety inducing for you, right? I don't know.
I get that part. I totally do. But then I think about like the funny stuff and the fun times and the laughs. I have no interest or time in my life to rekindle friendships from high school that I haven't seen in like 40, well, maybe not 40, 30 something years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I have no interest for that, but
yeah,
I just think it would be curious, because I feel like we're going to go there. You see, I'm using positive. We're going to go and we're going to see, oh, look at that person who was a total bitch to me, who I thought was like the top of the pecking order. I felt like I was at the bottom of the pecking order. And oh my God, she's like 3 times divorced, you know, doesn't own a home, doesn't have a job. I don't know. Like,
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? And maybe it's like things will level out, and maybe it'll be a confidence boosting scenario as opposed to like dragging you back, right?
For sure. And, you know, I think that what I'm saying, you know, when I say no, and the reasons why I'm saying no, I know that that's all me, you know, like it's my fears that are making me feel this way. But logically, if I was to go, you know, people probably would not be looking at me this way, you know, or you know, it's the pressures that I'm putting on myself. For sure. Oh, yeah.
Total.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, I just don't have any desire. But that said, though, there was not too long ago, two girls that we went to school with had reached out to me over Facebook and said, hey, you know, we're meeting these 3 other girls for lunch. We haven't seen each other in, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
We would love if you could attend. Now, you knew these girls in high school as well. Yeah. But I also knew them from elementary school. Like it was, cause you and I did not go to the same elementary school. So I've known them literally since I was like 5, 4, whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah, like really long. Career. So I did agree to go meet them, but I will tell you, I was very anxious, about meeting up with them again, it's all, I think, relating to my self-esteem, dude. I really think that it is, because the whole time, you know, I was excited to see them. I wanted to see them and I wanted to catch up with them because I really liked these girls. But the whole time leading up to it, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to wear? Oh my God, I'm going to look so terrible. Oh my God, they're going to see how fat I got. Oh my God. You know, like all these things were going through my head. I get there and we're having this lunch and it was so great to see them. And they all looked so beautiful. And, you know, they were all really achieving wonderful things in their lives and, you know, which I'm very happy about because they were a really nice group of girls. But then towards the end, one of them was like, let's take a group photo. And I'm like, oh geez, fuck. Are you fucking kidding? Like, fuck off. So I know. So they took this photo.
You just didn't want to be in the photo?
No. I just, because they still, on their Facebook, I know that they still socialize with a lot of people through high school that, you know, were a little, I want to say traumatizing for me. They weren't traumatizing. It was, assholes. You know, like just, you know, people that I wasn't, connected with, right? And I just didn't feel like having the judgment. So like I know that this is stemming from years and years and years of being made fun of because of my weight, being put down because of my weight. So I know that this lack of confidence about my appearance is based on that, and it's coming from that.
Do you think now I'm curious that you said that. Although I always felt uncomfortable at high school, like there was always this something wasn't quite right, right? Like uncomfortable. I don't remember anyone ever making fun of me specifically when I think back.
They did me. You know, well, here's the thing.
Who are these fuckers? They're going to go punch him out, man.
Yeah. I'm going to give you his fucking name. So no, but you know, there was, so it's not like it happened a lot. It was, like very few and far between. Usually it was, you know, stupid little immature boys, but I will tell you when I was in grade 12, so how old are you? 17 in grade 12? Old enough that people know, you don't make fun of others. You know what I mean? Like, especially to their face. This little fucker, he actually called my house at 1 o'clock in the morning. He was obviously drunk and he was just going on about how fat I was, how he wanted to fuck my creamy white ass. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, yeah, I'm not kidding you. I was devastated. I was devastated because I recognized his voice. I knew who it was. I was devastated and I remember, and you've probably forgotten, but I remember calling you girls and I remember saying, like, what the fuck? You know, like I had to deal with this in elementary school. I am like in grade 12 and I'm having to fucking deal with this. This is ridiculous. And so, you know, I cut myself some slack, man, because, you know, if I don't feel comfortable to, you know, see these people, you know, there's a good reason. So, yeah.
Okay, fine. Maybe I'll attach like a body cam and I'll go. And then that way you can be happy and see everybody and point and laugh. And we'll have that kind of experience.
Sounds good. Sounds good. But, you know, back to that picture real quick. So that picture got taken. Yeah. That picture got taken and I was just dreading it. My heart was in my stomach and it was just like, oh, fuck. And please don't post it to Facebook is what I was thinking. Don't post it.
Yeah.
So anyways, of course she posts it, right? But she didn't tag anybody, but she posted it. And then of course, everybody that she's got from high school that are on her friends list, you know what I mean? They recognized it. They recognized me right away. So I was just like, oh, well, it's done now, right?
Yeah.
Like it's done. So maybe now I should go because, you know, I've been outed. But that was really stressful. And I'm convinced I'm not the only person who feels that way. But I think there are a lot of people that feel like you, which is like, I don't care. I'm going to go. I want to see everybody. And
It's just more like the curiosity of, you know, it's that whole people you've held in low regard and the people you held in high regard when you were kids. And now what's come of them is just my kind of curiosity. But
yeah,
I didn't have the benefit of knowing anyone when I started high school in grade 9 because our family had moved from one hood to the other. And so I was starting grade 9 brand new, didn't have any friends, and slowly made friends. I was kind of like a jack of all friends person. I had no close friends, but I knew the stoners and I knew a few sporty people and I knew a few prefects and, you know, the whole thing. And eventually through, as time went on, we kind of had that small group of friends that we were part of. Yeah. And then towards the end, I feel like it was, you know, you and I more so, you know, closer and stuff. But do you remember, okay, so my daughter plays basketball, and last year the team she was on, they practiced at our high school. And so drove in and like parked the car and I like came in and they have all the pictures up on the wall. And I was like, it felt like a total blast from the past to walk through there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's the washroom where all the smokers hung out. All the Gina smokers used to go in there. And it just felt so crazy. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if that Italian bakery is open. I'll go get
it. Is it?
No, it's totally
not.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember now that that Italian bakery, we would go at lunch and they would have those little mini pizzas.
And custard slices.
And the custard slices. That's right. The custard slices. That's right. Yeah. You know what's funny? That just brings a memory, that bakery. That was the first time that I was eating with one of our mutual friends where I actually thought, geez, I wonder if this person is a lesbian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the first thing, this instinct I ever had or thought I ever had about somebody, you know, being gay or being a lesbian. And it's not like we knew much about that back then, right? Because we didn't.
No.
No. I mean, at that time, actually, when we were in high school, I remember that's when they just started, they really started kind of educating us on AIDS, if you remember, right?
Yeah.
Because that was really prevalent, I think, at the time. And they had like, they were advertising, you know, where to call if you feel like you've got, you know what I mean?
So that was stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, outside of that, there really wasn't much discussion about sexuality or, you know, that kind of stuff. But I remember that. That just brought that memory back. That's pretty funny.
Isn't that hilarious? And then heading outside on the bleachers at lunch when the weather was warm and just getting up to no good.
Go on.
I was going to say, skipping class and doing, and probably just going to get custard slices, skipping classes. My daughter is so funny now because she's like, is it okay if we're coming back from a school trip at this time. So technically I would arrive at school at this time, which means I only have about 30 minutes of this class left. Is it okay if I don't go to that and then I'll come home and I want to get this project done or whatever? And I'm like,
okay, she is not your biological daughter, because there is no way you would have ever said to your mom,
I feel like I am blessed with she's focused on her marks and she's so, you know, I don't know. I'm so happy for that. The other one, not so much. He's going to be he's going to be my skipping school guy for sure. But
he's taking after us.
Yeah. It's funny because it's hard to not think about our experiences and then listen to what my daughter's going through and with friendships, with actual achieving marks, like getting the work done type of stuff and the sports. And it's hard to not think back to what our experience was like. And I don't know. Yeah. I think the kids and the girls are – as much as social media has changed so much for them, it's still kind of the same in that they're young and they're growing and they're learning. They're learning about themselves. They're learning about how to be a good friend and what they want in a good friend. Yeah. And it's just kind of sweet to see her going through that. It's heartbreaking at times because it's tough, but you know, I said to her, you know, Auntie Bo and I, we met in high school at the very beginning, but we didn't become, you know, really close friends until, you know, grade 11, grade 12, I said, your people, you'll mm-hmm. find your people, you know, you'll find your good friends. And she's got a couple of those now. So I don't know. It's just,
that's great.
It's so weird to think about it though, I guess.
It is. It really honestly. Yeah, no, for sure it is. And you know, you're so right. I mean, those are the times when you are really trying to learn about yourself. And if you're in a good enough environment home-wise, I think that, you know, people really begin to come into themselves, you know, at that point. If you're not in a great home life, it might take a little bit longer. I know that you and I had similar experiences in high school, and I know that, you know, we had moments of skipping class and all that other stuff, but at the end of it, I mean, we turned out pretty okay. We've both got really good jobs. We've got great home lives. We've got great spouses. You know what I mean? Like, we've done okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe cut your son a little slack. Who knows?
I know, right? He starts grade 9 next year, so it'll be a whole new world for him for sure.
Oh, my God. I want to ask you a question, though.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. I'd like to know if you – I don't know. What was the most traumatic thing that happened to you in high school? What would you classify as something super traumatic? Because I don't remember you going through anything super traumatic, but maybe you have.
No, I wouldn't classify anything as a specific like trauma. I think mm-hmm. there were different experiences that I remember, you know, to this day. I think in high school is when, probably even before high school, when you think about it, but I started to really, you know, puberty hits and you start to realize, okay, I'm a little different from everybody else. I definitely had crushes on girls, which I talked to no one about. And I don't even think I related it to like sexual feelings or anything like that at the time. It was just more mm-hmm. of a fondness kind of crushy feeling that you get. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably the toughest part for me, is not figuring that out or what that was mm-hmm. or why I felt different from everybody. And yeah. probably to some extent why I kept myself away a little bit. Like, I don't know if I gave up my whole self until after years later when I had come out, right? That I was fun. I got along with everybody and it was just kind of surfacey for me.
So
I think that was one thing. And then I think watching close friends go through things, I remember one time a friend of mine had a boyfriend and the boyfriend had broken up with her and she was just a friggin' wreck mm-hmm. and was mm-hmm. crying and ran into the bathroom and exposed her wrist to the metal on the toilet paper and was trying to like, and I'm like pulling her out. She's trying to like cut herself on the toilet paper holder metal, which isn't even.
She was expressing
like
how
I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I feel like some of those things kind of stick out. And a lot of super fun times, I think, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like courtyard dances and, you know, getting driver's license and just like all those kind of milestones and fun things. But I don't think there was any specific trauma. What about you?
Specific trauma. I don't know if I would, well, maybe one thing I would classify as trauma and the other thing,
the
I
creamy
would
white ass phone call, the creamy white.
Yeah, no, not that
traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, I would say, I think, I had been like early on grade 9, 10, really, really, really close with this one particular girl who had lived across the street from me. And we did like everything together.
Yeah.
Everything. We would walk to school together. We would walk home together. We ate lunch together. We'd go to classes together. We would spend the weekends with each other. Like, I mean, it was like we were never apart from each other. And then one day she decided, I suppose, I don't know exactly how it all kind of came about, but she started to become friends with the more popular group right? Mm-hmm. And she was really cruel. She became like, you know, I would go to her house in the morning to walk to school because that's what we did every day.
All the time, yeah.
To be told that she had left with the other people that she was now kind of socializing with. You know, she stopped having lunch with me. She stopped, you know. But then, you know, when it came to her needing companionship on the weekends or to go somewhere or, you know, if they weren't around, well, then she was knocking on my door, yeah, right?
So back a friend.
Yeah, that was really hard though because, you know, I was young. It was grade 9, grade 10. Actually, I think this started in grade 10 and really solidified itself that we were kind of drifting apart by grade 11 for sure. But, you know, it was really hard because my identity was wrapped up in being, you know, friends with this
twosome
person.
Yeah, a twosome. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like everybody in high school know, if you want to know, it said, would say, if you want to know where this person is, look for that person. You know what I mean? Cause they're like, you know,
yeah, inseparable.
They're, yeah. Yeah. They're together all the time. And for it to be cut off so quickly and so, you know, with no explanation, no nothing, it was tough. I didn't know how to navigate this at all. And I just got so depressed. And I really started skipping school at that point because I felt like I didn't have a place, you know, like I really didn't feel like there was a place for me. And I felt so discarded and so worthless that I just, you know, we talk about, you know, people handle trauma differently. Mine was to disappear. Mine was to become, you know, was to withdraw. And
yeah,
that's what I did.
Hide out somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think Absolutely. That makes sense. It's funny because I think about that story and what my daughter's going through with friends. So her school was K-8. So she'd been with kind of a same crew and then high school hits. Some of them go to different ones. Some of them are at the same one. So there's familiar faces all around. Mm-hmm. And me, when we moved before grade 9, it was almost like, if I want to look at the silver lining of that, I started high school not knowing anyone, not knowing what anything about the school. I was in a new home. There was lots of changes at home, but I kind of had a fresh slate and I didn't mm-hmm. have that one friend that was my pal up until grade 8 that now all of a sudden wasn't there. None of them were there. And so I don't know if that was like, if you want to, you know, think of the silver lining of that, there was no, I was just kind of going into it clean. And at the time, I feel like I had a pretty positive mindset about it. And then I would say probably halfway through grade 9, I was like, what the hell? Who are these people I'm hanging with? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I get it. And you know, it's funny because I remember meeting you. I remember we were in gym class. I think it was gym class. And we were sitting on the, what the hell are they called? The benches.
The benches in the gym.
Yeah. And then you just started talking to me and I was like, oh, and then I started talking to you and I liked you right from the start. It was like, you were just so
likable person.
Yeah, you are. You definitely are. And you were very funny too. Very, very funny. You still are funny.
Thanks.
Yeah. But you know, talking about silver linings, had that situation not occurred with that other person, I don't think it would have, allowed me to get closer to you. Right. And so around that time frame is when you and I started getting closer. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful for that because it worked out obviously to my benefit because who wants friends like that? Like, you know what I mean?
100%.
And here's the bizarre thing. And this might sound a bit immature to you, but for me, it was like a real kind of standing up for myself moment. So, you know, the last 5 years I've been going through therapy and I've been understanding a lot about myself and why I feel the way that I feel and, you know, all that other stuff. And I never really had a voice before. I was never allowed to have a voice. Mm-hmm. And so now that I was, you know, working on understanding myself and my value and my self-worth and just because I'm still feeling self-conscious about my body and I'm not comfortable to necessarily do a high school reunion does not mean that I'm not finding worth about myself. You know what I mean? Like there are things that I am healing from and growing from. But one thing in particular, this particular
person. And things
person,
that you should be proud of and feel positive oh, yeah, for about sure. and all of that. You always say, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I feel like I'm just going to follow you around and give you positive little vibes and energy.
No. Listen, because we're talking. So I'm giving you like the good and the bad and everything. But in a nutshell, okay, I feel personally that I am allowed to feel self-conscious about situations, and I am allowed to say to myself, you know what, psychologically, it is going to be more anxiety inducing for me to go to a high school reunion than it would be to not. From a pros and cons perspective, I have nothing that I want to get from going to a high school reunion. So, you know, when I add up all of that stuff, I say, you know what, it's not worth the effort for myself to go. But on the flip side,
you'd watch my body cam if I went.
Yes, I would. 100% I would. And then we would debrief the second you got home.
That's for sure. To debrief.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, you know, like I am learning though, and I am getting better. And there are things that I feel have changed in my outlook on myself. I think that there are also things that I'm going to have to continue to work on for the rest of my life. They're just so deep rooted, you know, that I'm going to have to keep doing some of that self-talk. But I'm going to tell you this, that chicky poo that I was referring to, who left me for the more popular crowd.
Bitch.
She was right. She was friends with me on Facebook. And when I started therapy and I started realizing, wait a minute, I put up with shit that I should never have put up with. You know, like you start to realize the people that you had invited into your life and how they were mimicking other not so great people that you had been surrounded by. And I became very like, you know what? I don't even want you on my face. Like, yeah, I get that I'm a lot older now and that, you know, things have changed and, you know, we've all got families of our own and whatever, but I don't even want you on my Facebook anymore. And it was just my
goodbye.
Yeah. It was my way of kind of standing up for myself so late in the game, but it sure as shit felt great to unfucking friend her. And I'll tell you, and I did. And she, ever since I did that, she continuously reaches out to me.
Really?
Continuously.
Did you ever respond with, remember back in grade 9 when you unfriended me, you fucking hoe?
No.
Well, yeah, no. Now it's my turn.
Yeah, I know. No, I just don't even bother responding. So she's reached out to me a few times since I've unfriended her. Oh, you know, she would message and she'd say, oh, you know, I wondered where you went. I just found you on Facebook. I thought we were friends on Facebook before and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I didn't respond. And then somebody that we went to high school with had passed away, a neighbor of ours. And she reached out at that point. I still didn't respond. And then that picture that was taken at the lunch that I had with the other girls, the high school girls, she reached out then too. She was like, oh my God, you look so great, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, bye. Just no response. And I know that might sound a little immature, but you know what? To me, it feels really good to just be like, honestly, fuck you.
I totally get it. I totally get it. And then in the same breath, I'm like, you guys, you know, we were young. We were just kids. We were figuring it out. Yeah. Maybe let's hope that she learned a lesson about friendships and what that means. And maybe something has changed over time.
I honestly don't think so. I know that sounds really silly, but from when I was friends with her on Facebook, I think that there is still an element of fair weather friendish, if you will.
Oh, okay.
I can see it in the interactions and I'm going to go with, she's probably the same person. I could be wrong, but in my mind,
we should figure out how to do a poll on social to say, would you or wouldn't you go to a reunion?
Okay.
I'm kind of curious to see what people are saying and whether or not people still hang with people that they originally met and were friends with in high school or what's changed. So curious about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll do a poll. I'll get the poll set up.
Yeah. Let's do a poll.
And I'll put it on. I'm curious too, because like I said before, I can't be the only one who feels this way. You know, I can't be the only one who's felt good times and bad times in high school, but
if we do a poll and if we do a poll and everyone agrees with us, awesome.
I know.
If people are like all disagreeing with us, then we'll just take down the poll. Okay.
Well, no, no, we're not going to do that. But here's what I'm, here's, okay, I'm wondering if I should make you this deal. I don't know. But we could, what we could do, no, I'm not going to say it because then people are going to vote otherwise just to make it happen. So no deal. But you would go to the high school reunion. I would not. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see how many kind of match what each of us think.
I'm curious to see my grade 10 boyfriend, you know, because that.
Oh my God. Yes. Right? I remember him. I do.
Right.
I
do. You want to date a football player?
That's what he said to me before he kissed me.
Oh, I can't believe he actually said that to you. And, the funny thing is now,
cringe.
If he only knew that you were thinking about
right?
me. No, I'm just joking.
Totally. The other thing which had me kind of giggling when you were talking about skipping school is I think it's kind of funny. And one of my favorite high school stories was one time you skipped your class to come to my class. Do you recall?
I remember.
And we were in what are those cubicles called that are outside of the school?
I don't know. I
can't remember.
Outdoor cubicles. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember either. I'm too old to remember. Oh no, I get it.
Portables. We were in a portable. My math class was in a portable. And you came in and the teacher was like, who's this? I said, this is my exchange student, Helga from Sweden or something. I don't know.
You said I was your cousin. I was your cousin. Yeah, from like Sweden or whatever. And that I didn't speak any English.
You didn't speak any English and you had to stay with me. And you attended my home. And everyone was freaking dying. We were all laughing. And I swear, like, I don't understand how this teacher wouldn't, like, he had to have known.
You would think, right? Like,
Were we just dumb kids and we were like, oh, we're pulling the wool over this guy's eyes, man. Like,
you know, I did not have that particular teacher for any of my classes throughout high school. So he may not have, you know, known me, but for sure there were people in your class that knew who the hell I was. And my God, were we ever laughing? All the Ginas. Did you just say all the Ginas?
Yeah.
Listen, just because I'm Italian does not mean
there was a lot of Ginas in that math class, Bo. I'm telling you.
I know there were. I know, but you know what?
You know what? We should also post your glamour shot.
Oh my God!
I think I have that somewhere still, so we'll put that on the list to post up there. Eh?
Listen, that's not happening. But
it's so. Funny.
But that math class was really funny. I can't believe we actually did that and pretended that I didn't speak English and got away with it. And why? Why would I skip a class to go to your class? I think it was just the whole thrill of, let's see if we can get away with this.
Yeah, 100%. Isn't that what all of high school is? What can you get away with?
Pretty much. Like, yeah.
Not get pretty busted much. For.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too funny. That was a good one. Well, it was.
It was. It was nice to reminisce for sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm thankful that I've met you and I just, I guess the events have led us to where we are. So I can't really, you know, resent them.
No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. And it's fun to think of all the fun memory, as much as it was a painful time. Like I don't know anyone that's gone to high school that doesn't reminisce about some hard times or painful times, but there was a lot of good laughs in there too. And
there was.
And we found each other.
We did.
Aww,
we did.
Look at
and
us.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Aww. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Bo. Okay.
We'll chat on that note. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll chat with everybody next time. This is Bo.
And this is CeeLo. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking a seat at the table today. We love our dinner guests.
Don't forget to subscribe and follow The Dinner Agenda on the podcast platform you use so that you don't miss any new episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Dinner Agenda.
We look forward to hearing your comments, questions, and even ideas you may have on future episodes.
Thanks for taking this journey with us.